Well, good morning. It's been a wonderful morning to share together in a couple of baptisms and a child dedication. It's been a wonderful morning to share together with one another, with our Lord, but with family and visitors who are with us today. 2 weeks ago, we spent some time looking at the story of the Good Samaritan. And we're thinking about how difficult it can be to love the unlovely. You know, that person who you don't really or you don't usually want to spend time with, you avoid. That person that you probably don't have any time for. Loving the unlovely. It can be difficult. And I think one of the best motivators for us when trying to be compassionate toward others, that is loving the unlovely, the person who's not that lovely to us, is by remembering how sinful, how lost, how desperate, how hopeless we were before Jesus saved us. We were not in a good place. We were not good people. And so we love others better when we appreciate how much we have been loved. We forgive others better when we appreciate how much we've been forgiven for. And so the words of John ring true for us. We love because he first loved us. We only love because he first loved us. Over time, though, we may begin to see the depth of our sin less seriously. Satan tells us that we weren't that bad, that our sin wasn't that terrible. There are other people who have done a whole lot worse than you have, than I have, or we have. So pride tells us that we're doing all right, we're doing okay. In time, the depth of our gratitude to the Lord for saving us from our sin may fade a little. So do you think that you're doing all right, that you are okay with God? Are you okay? We come to a passage today which addresses some of these issues for us. Jesus has been invited by Simon the Pharisee to his home for a meal, and Jesus attends. The events that take place certainly do add to the accusations that are being made about Jesus that he associates with sinners and tax collectors and prostitutes. He hangs out with the wrong kind of people. As you know, the Pharisees were more than keen to follow the letter of the law or to obey all of the rules. They felt that they were doing all of the right things as far as they could. Then God would be pleased with them. They felt that they were doing okay. They were all right with God. Also very quick to tell others where they thought that they were not living up to the standards, living according to the rules. And so they were quite legalistic. They were less gracious. And so Jesus is reclining at the table with a bunch of other fellows when a woman of ill repute comes into the house and stations herself right there behind Jesus. And when it says that they were reclining, Jesus was most likely lying on the floor, parked up against a pillow or two, just in front of a low table. And so he's reclining at this table. Verse 37 from Luke chapter 7. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learnt that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, and so she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Well, then she wiped them with her hair. She kissed them. And she poured perfume on them. It was not unusual for outsiders to hover around somebody's place when they were having a banquet. They were checking it out. They were busybodies. It was not uncommon for people to be busybodies, to see who the important people were, who'd been invited, and what they were up to, what they were doing. And this woman, so therefore she's able to make her way in and seat herself, or be right there, station herself right there behind Jesus. Women, however, were not invited to these banquets. Women were expected to serve the men, and if they were to show their face at all, then in silence. But she was a sinful woman from this town that everybody knew was sinful. Her reputation went before her, and it was not a good reputation. Everybody knew about her. We're not told, but she's probably a woman of the street. And as Jesus reclines at the table, she comes in, she weeps over his feet. She lets her hair down, she wipes his feet with her hair. She kisses his feet, and she pours expensive perfume over them. How scandalous, disgraceful, shameful, appalling, outrageous. She'd let her hair down, which was an inappropriate sign that spoke of intimacy. But she was there and she kissed his feet and she pours perfume on them. And what's she trying to do? Is she trying to impress Jesus? And outrageous, shameful, Jesus makes no attempt to stop her. This is appalling. It's no wonder that Simon says to himself, if this, in fact, Simon whispers, pretty much whispers this, if this man were a prophet, he would know who's touching him and what kind of a woman she is, that she's a sinner. If he's a prophet, he'd know. You see, the reports were getting around, the rumour mill was in full swing, that people had heard what Jesus was up to all over the place. The stories were getting to places before Jesus was. People heard of his healing power, and some were already declaring that Jesus was the great prophet who was coming, who was now there, according to Luke chapter 7, verse 16. Check it out. Simon was keen to invite such a popular guy to his place. This was going to be wonderful for his personal persona, for the way that people saw him within the community. I had Jesus around my place for a meal. But now Simon is questioning, surely he's no prophet? Well, he'd know who she is. He'd know what she's done. The godly don't associate with the wicked. And so he's now feeling embarrassed for having arranged this banquet, embarrassed for his guests who he has invited, that they have to sit through such an ordeal as this. This is disgusting. This is outrageous. And so this event rocks the recognized way of doing things, both religiously and culturally. Jesus, as a rabbi, should not allow a woman to come near him, and certainly not to allow her to perform the things that she's doing. He should have sent her out of the room. And she ought to know better than to interrupt and perform such a disgraceful act. Simon is embarrassed, he's upset that things have gotten so out of hand. How upset do we get when things don't go our way? according to our plans or our wishes, according to our standards. When things don't measure up to our standards, how upset do we get? Are we quick to tell others where they've stepped over the line? It's not acceptable. When someone does something that in our eyes is disrespectful, inappropriate, thoughtless, maybe even shameful and scandalous, are we quick to point the finger and judge their behaviour? Jesus could see the heart of this woman and he applauded her for it. Simon, on the other hand, knew of her reputation and saw her actions and criticised her and condemned her. He knew who she was. He couldn't see a repentant heart. And sometimes it can be very difficult for us to forget the past of another person. We've seen how someone always responds. We've heard of their inerrant ways. We've placed them in a box that defines them for us. And in our minds, we think they'll never change. They've always been like that, so they will always be like that. They've always responded that way. That's who they are. In our cynicism and negativity, we question or doubt any positive step forward that they can make. And I think this is why we are so often encouraged in Scripture to encourage one another, to fortify, inspire, embolden, nurture one another, to forgive one another, because it is our natural bent towards cynicism and negativity. So, encourage one another instead. And this is what Jesus seeks to do with Simon, to forgive him and encourage him. For the godly do associate with the wicked. Jesus always speaks words of life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. As you read the Gospels, as you read Jesus' words, always look at it from that perspective. He is speaking words of life. And so his words of life are intended to bring life to all who hear in that room, Simon included. You see, I don't think Jesus is reprimanding Simon, but rather he wants him to see this woman, to see her heart, and then to apply that to himself and examine his own heart. At first glance, you might think that Jesus is berating, that he is condemning Simon, because that's our natural bent. We tend to be quick to see another's flaw and point them out, to knock them off their perch. But Jesus is concerned about Simon's heart too. And everyone else who is listening and is watching these events unfold, Jesus is concerned for their heart too. And so he asked Simon a question. Verse 41. Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, and so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which one of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven. Well, Jesus said, you have judged correctly. So Jesus poses a scenario to Simon whereby two blokes owed another bloke a heap of money. In fact, one fella owed him 1.5 years' wages. That's what 500 denarii was worth in that time. 1.5 years' wages. The other bloke owes him almost 2 months of a yearly wage. And so it's both of them, it's a significant debt, but both have their debt cancelled. Which one would be more gracious? Which one would be more grateful, Jesus asked. Obviously the one who owed the greatest amount, Simon answers correctly. Well, Jesus then turns and looks at this woman behind him. He's taking his attention off Simon, eye contact off Simon, looks at this woman, and he invites Simon intentionally to give his attention to her, to look at her, to watch her and what she is doing, because she does what she does because she is forgiven for her past sin. She knows it, and she is appreciating Jesus. He says, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You didn't give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little." And so the message was as clear as day. This woman was displaying genuine love and worship. She was so grateful for Jesus, his love, his forgiveness, his acceptance. Maybe she had already been in his presence before and she had heard his teaching. For whatever reason, she is so grateful for Jesus, his love, his forgiveness, his acceptance. She's not embarrassed to bow down at his feet and worship him. She didn't care what others saw and what others thought of her. Her priority was to show Jesus that she loved him. She believed him to be the Messiah, the Son of God, and she knew her sins were forgiven. Now, sometimes we're a little shy or afraid or ashamed. We can be afraid to let the world know that we are Christians. When people ask you, "What did you do on the weekend?" we often respond with the events of Saturday, but not Sunday. When we're out at a restaurant, we might try to hide our saying of grace in case anyone notices. But this woman, she doesn't hold back. Why? Because whoever has been forgiven much loves much. Whoever has been forgiven much loves much. Jesus put it the other way around for Simon's benefit so that he might examine his own heart. Whoever has been forgiven little loves little. You see, in Simon's eyes, he was pretty close to righteous. He did his best to obey all the rules. He thought that he was okay with God. Are you okay? And maybe Jesus' statement, "Whoever has been forgiven little loves little," maybe his statement was starting to sink in for Simon, because it's the other guests who then respond to Jesus. Jesus says to this woman, "Your sins are forgiven," and they begin to question, "Who is this that even can forgive sin?" Well, Jesus, he's not hung up on the semantics of words, and so he says to this woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Go in peace. You know, Jesus likewise could have said to the people who were there sitting, listening, watching, thinking, who is this that forgives sins? What's going on here? He can't do that. He could have said to them, as he did on another occasion, the one who is without sin, I cast the first stone. He wanted them to examine their hearts as well. Whoever loves, whoever forgives little, loves little. So he wanted them to examine their hearts. So the people who were seated around that table, once again, Jesus appears to reject the recognized way of doing things. He has this habit. But you know, this is the last thing on Jesus' mind, to reject the recognized way of doing things. How dare he forgive sin? Only God can do that. Challenging convention was not Jesus' main intention. He wasn't concerned to knock the current religious establishment on the head. That wasn't his main game. But rather to challenge pride and highlight humility. Look at this woman. God honours the contrite heart. This event shows us that love transcends all the laws, all the rules that we obey. And we do obey because we love the Lord. Love transcends all other laws. We love because God first loved us. You see, what impresses Jesus the most is a repentant heart born out of love. So a repentant prostitute pleases his heart more than a religious person who thinks that he's okay with God. Because when it all comes down to it, both the woman and the Pharisee were spiritually bankrupt. Both were spiritually bankrupt. They couldn't pay their debt to God. Both needed to be forgiven. And so the question was not about how big or small the sin, but rather how much the sinner knew that they needed forgiveness. Do you think you're okay with God? Do you think that your sin is not that great? Has the seriousness of sin, is that fading for you? Or do you recognize every day how much you need Jesus as your Savior? Do you recognize every day how much Jesus loves you and forgives you? And are we prepared to be like this woman, to boldly show that we worship Jesus? I hope so. Amen. Amen.